Thank you. It's always great to be back at MMF and reconnect with everyone and the history that we have together. You know, we don't get to see each other often, so it's like a reunion every time. So it's always good to see your faces. I haven't seen Suzanne and Clark in so long. You were your screen wasn't shared the last time we were together. So it's good to see you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you so much thanks for this day, day of blessing. We got out of bed this morning. You allowed us to see another day, to be a part of another day. You allowed us to worship you, to come together with all our collective worships and gather as a community, a family of worshipers, a community, a family of Christians who want to dedicate our lives to love, the love that you shared your love with, you want us to love with. So we pray all these things and give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So rebirth of a nation. Oh, what does that mean? You know, the kingdom of God is among you. Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. Jesus answered Nicodemus, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Our understanding of God's kingdom can be multifaceted. We understand it as an actual place, a space and time, a future time, the reign of God working in the human condition, or the presence of God in our hearts. And in order to be a part of it, or to live it, to experience it, to see it, we must be born again. But what does that mean? What does it mean? As Jesus explained its meaning using human physical concepts, Nicodemus, you know, like the woman at the well, did not understand its actual meaning. To be born of the Spirit is to abide in the love and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus. You know, to be with God and the Holy Spirit, you know, the three are triune, the self, the essence of God. And our worldly self is thrown away and we are made anew, a new creation, no longer of the world, which is in rebellion, constant rebellion to God, but to be in the world, doing the will of God through Christ Jesus. And the will of God is to share the good news of the gospel that God loves us so much that he sent his only son into the world to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And God grants us the free gift of grace, you know, through faith in Jesus, which we do not deserve, while extending mercy for the punishment of our sins that we do deserve. And undergirding all of this is the power of love. Love is extended to us, and we are called to extend love to others. John writes in his first epistle, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. You know, we are that new creation, death to the old self. And he finishes it, whoever does not love abides in death. But what is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful, or it does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Hold on to that. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. Love never ends. I don't know if you know about Clarence Jordan and Koinonia Farm, but I like to use him as an understanding of the blessing when that happens, when someone gives their life to God and dedicates their life to the gospel scriptures. And when you do that, there's always a blessing, always a blessing. That in the 1940s, he started Koinonia Farm and gathered people, blacks and whites together, because what he was reading in the scripture, it didn't comprehend what he saw out in the world. So he decided to do something about it. And he created the farm, people working together, praying together, eating together. And that was against the law. And because of that, Millard and Linda Fuller came along. God sent them to that place. And out of that, the Habitat for Humanity was created. Out of that obedience from Clarence Jordan, Habitat was created, and it is still a blessing, a constant blessing. Up here in Orange County in Newburgh, build homes are being created. In Middletown, homes are being created, but people are being blessed through the obedience of one person. On the flip side of that, when we want to follow the world or our own stubborn hearts and our greed, what happens when that when we do that? What are the ripple effects of sin and evil that are caused? If we lack the armor, the weaponry to fight against the devil, we can easily be tempted away from God's will. And to understand this, while Jesus was in the wilderness, right after he was baptized, you know, the devil was trying to tempt him on his side. Now come to me, Jesus, you know, bow down before me. And he even used the Bible to try to influence him, you know. And Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Christians who understand the love of God, who call to God as you are my God through Jesus Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, was able to counteract the devil's ploys. The devil used the scripture. It is written. Jesus combated that with the true word of God and said, it is written. He understood the true word of God. And history has shown us that so many people use the Bible to manipulate and to subjugate for their own greed. Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, such boasters are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is not strange if his ministers also disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness. Their end will match their deeds. One notable deed of evil is the doctrine of discovery. In 1095, at the beginning of the Crusades, Pope Urban II issued an edict, what they call papal bulls, terra nullius, meaning empty land. It gave the kings and princes of Europe the right to discover or claim land in non-Christian areas. There was another papal decree by another pope, papal decree Romanus, issued by Pope Nicholas V in 1452, and it allowed Portugal to conquer lands in West Africa. And another papal decree by another pope, Inter Cayetera, in 1493. And it gave Spain the right to conquer new discovered lands. And these decrees, in essence, sanctioned and promoted the conquests, colonization, enslavement, exploitation of non-Christian territories and peoples, whom they considered to be uncivilized and subhuman. It was their God-given right to take the land and resources of and Christianize the masses, all in the name of Jesus, all in the name of God. After all, the Bible does say, you know, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But they left out the ending and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The new commandment, to love one another as Jesus loves us. Love does not kill. Love does not destroy. Love does not rape. Love does not pillage. And in the unanimous Supreme Court decision of Johnson versus McIntosh in 1823, the U.S. held that tribes did not own absolute title to their lands, but were mere occupants of the land. The tribal right to sell their land to non-Indians was restricted, with any transfer of land being illegal unless approved by the federal government. The United States had the exclusive right to obtain Indian land title by purchase or conquest. The Johnson decision held that tribes did not retain full national sovereignty, and that power, that understanding, that the gumshoe to actually even say that came from none other than the doctrine of discovery. So on April 7th, 1830, President Andrew Jackson submitted a bill to Congress calling for the removal of Indian tribes in the East Lands to west of the Mississippi. So on May 28th, the Indian Removal Act was passed. And from 1830 to 1840, thousands of Native Americans were forcibly removed from the southeastern states, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, in order to make way for white farmers who were eager to gain control of that fertile cotton land, you know, allowing for the enslavement of African Americans to flourish over time. And many Native Americans died along the route to Oklahoma, known as the Trail of Tears. African Americans traveling with the natives along the trail, either as free or slaves, as well as those migrating from, you know, the freedmen migrating from southeastern states looking for a better way of life, made their way to Oklahoma. And over time, the African American population growth led to the creation of one of the best thriving towns known as Greenwood, or what we know it as Black Wall Street, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it wasn't long before the roots of evil, you know, which led to the ill treatment of Native Americans, it reared its ugly head in Tulsa and Oklahoma, and it known as the Jim Crow racism against African Americans. That same evil against Native Americans. It's the same evil against African Americans. It's the same evil that started with that first papal bull. And it all came to a head in 1921, when an African American male was falsely accused of making advances toward a white woman. After his arrest, the mobs of white men came to the jail in order to lynch him. And the men of Greenwood went to the jail to protect him. And this led to one of the worst atrocities in American history, known as the Tulsa Massacre. As many as 300 African American people were killed that they know of. And the town of Greenwood was razed to the ground. At least 35 city blocks were decimated due to the firebombs that were dropped from planes. Businesses, churches, schools, homes, everything, you know, laid waste. And within a 24-hour period, witnesses described the bodies laying in the streets and the possibility of mass graves, which they will look to exhume tomorrow, and the looting of homes and much more. And tomorrow, because tomorrow dates the 100th anniversary of the massacre, and you know there are three survivors. One is 107, another is 106, and another is the last is 100. And they recently testified before Congress last week to seek justice still 100 years later from that day back in 1921. And scores of remaining families are still seeking justice for that day. The ripple effects of sin and evil from just that one papal decision from the Pope, the man of God. And since 2020, this is questions for you. What are the signs of the times that God has shown you to this day? 2020 is like an eye-opening. I can clearly see God is amazing. He used 2020 as a way of the awakening. You know, what spiritual rebirth, you know, must we all go through according to the Holy Spirit in order to counteract that the national discord of race in America? You know, the answers, the fight must come from the church, because it is where it all began. You know, God is speaking from the throne. He's seated on his throne, speaking to you. Manhattan Mennonite Fellowship. Can you see him? Can you hear him? Are you listening? Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Do you have the courage, you know, the fortitude, the wisdom, the strength to say, here am I, send me? You know, we need the dry bones of the Christian church to live once again. We need to speak life, speak breath back into the Christian church so our nation can be reborn again, reborn of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, whoever speaks must do as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory, now and forevermore.